The sky bled fire the day our command structure collapsed. I remember it with perfect clarity, the way the orbital defense platforms ignited one by one, like candles being snuffed out by an uncaring god. My name is Draven Kaska, Sergeant of the 107th 10RS Rifles, and I am recording this testament as our final hours approach. Perhaps no one will ever hear these words, but the Emperor knows I tried. 10RS Prime was never meant to be a fortress world. Our value to the Imperium lay in the vast Promethium refineries that processed fuel for half the battle fleets in Segmentum Obscurus. The Planetary Defense Force was adequate for deterring pirates and the occasional Xenos raiding party, but what descended upon us that day was something else entirely. The Word Bearers came first. Their bloated, crimson battleships punched through our orbital defenses with contemptuous ease. I was overseeing maintenance drills at the southern perimeter when the first macro shells struck Hive Meridian. The central spire shuddered, and great chunks of ferrocrete rained down on the Hab blocks below. Through my magnoculars, I witnessed entire districts vanish in blossoming clouds of dust and debris. Our commanders assured us it was merely an isolated heretic incursion, something the planetary defense forces could handle with minimal guard support. They were wrong, so catastrophically wrong. Within 6 hours, the Dark Eldar arrived. Their razor ships sliced through the atmosphere with impossible grace, weaving between the clumsy bombardment patterns of the Chaos Fleet. At first, I thought they had come to fight the Word Bearers, another mistake. They had come to feast on the suffering their unlikely allies had initiated. The Vox channels dissolved into chaos. Conflicting orders, desperate pleas for reinforcement, screams cut abruptly short. Colonel Dreyas was issuing commands to establish a defensive perimeter around the primary Promethium pipelines when his transmission ended with a wet, gurgling sound. Major Velis assumed command, ordering all remaining units to converge on Hive Meridian's outer walls. We never made it that far. The main arterial road to the Hive was choked with civilian evacuees. Thousands of refinery workers and their families, clutching whatever possessions they could carry, moving like a great wounded beast toward the false promise of safety. The Word Bearers struck the refugee column with precision, not to kill, at least not immediately, but to sow panic. Chaos raptors descended on metal wings, snatching up screaming victims before dropping them from heights onto the crowds below. The civilians trampled each other in their desperation to escape, becoming a writhing mass of humanity that blocked our transports. Major Velis ordered us to advance on foot through the crowd. I remember the faces of my men as they processed that command, the dawning realization that we were being ordered to cut through our own people. Commissar Thade stood behind Velis, bolt pistol casually aimed at the Major's head, ensuring compliance. I gave the order to fix bayonets, and we began the grim advance. The munitions depot at Checkpoint Secundus was our first objective. We needed the heavy weapons stored there if we were to have any chance of establishing a defensible perimeter. We arrived to find the facility a smoking crater. The Word Bearers had known exactly where to strike. The precision of their initial assault suggested treachery from within, but there was no time to investigate. With our supply lines severed and the main weapons cache destroyed, we were reduced to the ammunition we carried and whatever we could scavenge. Velis snapped. I watched it happen, the moment when a career officer confronts the absolute failure of everything he was trained to handle. He executed Captain Lornes for suggesting a tactical retreat to more defensible positions, claimed it was defeatism. Then he began ranting about hidden cultists within our ranks, his eyes wild and unfocused. When Colonel Hasketh arrived with the remnants of the 3rd Company, Velis accused him of deliberately sabotaging the defense. The bolt round took Hasketh through his left eye. Before Velis could continue his purge, a Dark Eldar splinter rifle shot punched through his throat. The raider responsible moved with such speed that our return fire hit nothing but air. Commissar Thade assumed command, but he lasted less than an hour before the Word Bearers overran his position. By nightfall, the command structure had completely disintegrated. Scattered Vox transmissions indicated similar situations across the planet. The governor's final broadcast was a garbled message about standing firm in the Emperor's light before it devolved into screams. The astropathic choir attempted an emergency transmission to the sector fleet, but the Word Bearers had brought their own psychers. The astropath's heads exploded one by one, painting the walls of their sanctum with brain matter and bone fragments. With no central command and dwindling supplies, individual officers began making their own decisions. Some chose to retreat into the Underhive, others to make suicidal last stands. Lieutenant Garvin led 300 men in a counterattack against a word-bearer position. None returned. I gathered what remained of my platoon, 17 men and women, exhausted and hollow-eyed. We had standard issue las guns with perhaps 30% charge remaining, two frag grenades, a single crack grenade, a meltagun with three charges, not enough to make a difference in any meaningful engagement. That's when I saw them, a group of red-robed figures moving with mechanical precision through the ruins of a collapsed HAB block. Skitari Rangers, five of them, their radium carbines still gleaming despite the ash and debris coating everything else. Their tech priest overseer was nowhere to be seen, but they responded to basic Imperial battle camp. They had been defending a data shrine when their overseer was taken by Dark Elder raiders. Now they operated on their last received instructions, protect Omnisiah's assets and eliminate hostiles. We weren't alone. As we moved through the burning districts toward the refinery sector, others joined us. A squad of PDF troopers, their green uniforms stained black with promethium residue. A group of Manufactorum workers armed with industrial tools, plasma cutters, rivet guns, even a massive servo arm torn from its mounting and wielded by a man whose augmetic eye glowed red in the darkness. By the time we reached the Omnisiah's Gateway Bridge, our force had swelled to nearly 50 souls. The bridge was a marvel of engineering, a 2-kilometer span of adamantium and ferrocrete that connected the main refinery district to Hive Meridian's primary spire. Control the bridge and you controlled the flow of promethium to the Hive. In the right hands, it could become a choke point where even our meager force might make a stand. We had no proper weapons for half our fighters. The Manufactorum workers already had their tools, but the PDF troopers carried only standard issue auto pistols, pea shooters against Chaos Space Marines. We broke into maintenance sheds and stripped the refinery of anything that could kill. Servo hauler parts were fashioned into crude clubs. Pressure valves became improvised grenades. Coolant pipes were cut into jagged lengths that could, perhaps, puncture an unarmored throat if wielded with sufficient force and desperation. The Skitari were our greatest asset. Their radium carbines could penetrate even Astartes armor, given enough concentrated fire. I positioned them at the center of our line, with the best armed guardsmen on the flanks and the civilians with improvised weapons behind as reserves. We used maintenance vehicles to create a barricade at the refinery side of the bridge, overturning them and welding scrap metal to create firing positions. The sky darkened further as we worked, not with night, but with unnatural storm clouds that coalesced above the Hive. Green lightning flickered between them, the word-bearer's sorcerous allies calling upon powers that made my skin crawl. I am not a superstitious man, but even I felt the wrongness that permeated the air. It clung to the lungs like promethium fumes, making each breath an effort. A PDF lieutenant named Koros found a cache of mining explosives in a maintenance tunnel. Not military grade, but enough to bring down sections of the bridge if needed. We rigged them at strategic points, a final option if our position became untenable. Better to deny the enemy the bridge than allow them access to the Hive's heart. Hours passed as we fortified our position. The distant sounds of battle echoed across the Hive, sporadic Laws fire, the distinctive crack of bolter rounds, and occasionally the bone vibrating boom of heavier ordnance. Through my magnoculars, I observed word-bearer advance parties securing key infrastructure points across the refinery district. They moved with the practiced efficiency of warriors who had been waging war for millennia. The Dark Eldar were more difficult to track. They appeared as flickering shadows between buildings, moving too quickly for human eyes to follow properly. They seemed to be gathering captives rather than securing territory, herding screaming workers into their barbed transports. Their priorities were incomprehensible to me then. Now I understand they were simply harvesting. A tremor ran through the bridge as something massive impacted nearby. Through swirling smoke, I glimpsed a Chaos Dreadnought tearing through a defensive line 2 kilometers east of our position. Its chain fist ripped through a Chimera transport, lifting the 8-ton vehicle and hurling it into a promethium storage tank. The resulting explosion illuminated the entire district, casting our shadows long across the bridge. The Manufactorum workers began to waver at the sight. Fear is contagious, and I could see it spreading through our makeshift force. One man dropped his improvised weapon and turned to flee. I raised my last pistol, prepared to execute him as an example to the others, when one of the Skitarii put a radium round through his knee. The mechanical precision of the act was somehow more terrifying than any commissar's execution. The wounded man was dragged back into position, his leg cauterized with a plasma cutter to prevent him bleeding out. His screams served as an effective deterrent to anyone else considering desertion. As night fell completely, we detected movement at the far end of the bridge. Dark shapes advancing in formation, too disciplined to be cultists, too large to be unaugmented humans. Word bearers. A probing force testing our defenses, I ordered the Skitarii to hold fire until the enemy was halfway across the bridge. Ammunition was too precious to waste on speculative shots. The wait was excruciating. Every instinct screamed to open fire to push back the encroaching darkness with Law's light and the Emperor's fury. But discipline held. The word bearers advanced with contemptuous slowness, confident in their superiority. Eight Astartes in crimson armor etched with blasphemous script that hurt the eyes to look upon directly. When they reached the designated point, I gave the signal. Five radium carbines and every lasgun we had opened fire simultaneously. The bridge lit up with emerald light as the Skitarii weapons discharged their radioactive payloads. Two word bearers fell immediately, their armor compromised by the concentrated fire. A third staggered as Law's rounds impacted his shoulder joint, momentarily disrupting his aim. The remaining traitor Marines returned fire with devastating effect. Bolter rounds tore through our makeshift barricades, detonating among the defenders. Three PDF troopers simply ceased to exist, reduced to pink mist and fragments of flak armor. A Manufactorum worker lost both arms to a single bolt shell that detonated against his chest, but somehow failed to kill him outright. His screams added to the cacophony of battle. The firefight lasted less than 2 minutes. When it ended, the word bearers had withdrawn, leaving their dead behind, an unusual tactic for Astartes who typically recovered their fallen. We had lost 11 fighters and expended nearly a quarter of our remaining ammunition. If this was merely a probing attack, we could not survive the main assault. But as I surveyed our position, counting the dead and assessing our dwindling resources, I realized something. The bridge still held, we still held. In a war where Imperial forces were being systematically annihilated across the planet, our pathetic collection of guardsmen, civilians, and masterless Skitarii had repelled the first attack. It wouldn't last. I harbored no illusions about our ultimate fate. But for this moment, this fragile sliver of time, we had denied the enemy their objective. The Emperor may have abandoned Tanaris Prime, but we had not abandoned our duty. As I moved among the survivors, checking weapons and repositioning fighters to cover the gaps left by our dead, I spotted movement on the refinery side of the bridge. Not word bearers this time, but Dark Eldar raiders, their lithe forms slipping from shadow to shadow with predatory grace. The real test of our defenses was about to begin. The first assault was merely a prelude to the nightmare that followed. As dawn broke over Tanaris Prime, casting sickly yellow light through the smoke-choked atmosphere, I surveyed what remained of our makeshift force. 43 fighters, if you could call them that, a motley collection of guard remnants, PDF troopers, refinery workers, and those five eerily efficient Skitarii. The bridge beneath our feet, the Omnisiah's gateway, would become our funeral pyre or our greatest achievement. There was no middle ground left on Tanaris. I knew the bridge's narrow confines offered our only tactical advantage. 2 kilometers of adamantium and ferrocrete spanning the toxic chemical runoff basin that separated the refinery complex from Hive Meridian. The enemy would be forced to funnel through a space 20 meters wide, still not ideal against Astartes or Dark Eldar, but better than open ground where they could utilize their superior mobility. Tech Adept Vernus, a hunched figure with more metal than flesh showing beneath his tattered red robes, identified the Promethium pipelines running along the bridge's underside. The massive fuel conduits fed the Hive's generators and forges, carrying refined Promethium from the processing facilities we now defended. In them, I saw opportunity. We worked frantically through the early morning hours, rigging the pipelines with makeshift control valves and ignition systems. The process required cannibalizing power cells from 2 of our las guns, weapons we couldn't afford to lose, but the trade-off was necessary. Vernus, augmetic fingers moved with surprising dexterity as he spliced control wires and pressure regulators. By mid-morning, we had transformed the bridge into a death trap that could be triggered from our defensive position. The first wave came at us just after noon. Cultists, hundreds of them, charging across the bridge with rusted weapons and fanatical devotion etched into their mutilated faces. Many wore the remnants of PDF uniforms or refinery worker coveralls, former citizens of Tanaris Prime who had turned to the ruinous powers when the invasion began. I recognized faces among them. Men and women I had passed in the street during my garrison duties, now transformed into howling abominations. We held our fire until they reached the midpoint of the bridge. Ammunition conservation remained our primary concern. When I finally gave the order, our ragged line erupted with Law's fire and the distinctive radiation discharge of Skitarii carbines. The front ranks of cultists disintegrated, bodies tumbling over the bridge's edge or collapsing in heaps of twitching meat. Yet they kept coming, scrambling over their dead with mindless determination. When they closed to within 50 meters, I triggered the first Promethium trap. The pipeline rupture was more effective than I dared hope. Pressurized fuel sprayed across the width of the bridge before Vernus remotely activated the ignition spark. The resulting conflagration consumed nearly 100 cultists in seconds. Their screams echoed across the toxic basin as they burned, many hurling themselves over the railings in a desperate attempt to extinguish the flames, only to dissolve in the caustic sludge below. The attack faltered but didn't break. Through the wall of flame, a new threat emerged. Dark Eldar warriors, their armor adorned with hooks and blades that caught the firelight like the scales of some terrible predator. They moved through the flames as if they were nothing more than a mild inconvenience, firing splinter rifles with unerring accuracy. Two PDF troopers to my left collapsed, their bodies convulsing as toxic crystalline shards worked through their nervous systems. The Skitarii responded with mechanical precision, adjusting their aim to track the unnaturally fast Xenos. Three Dark Eldar fell to coordinated radium fire, their bodies crumbling as radiation ate through armor and flesh alike. The survivors withdrew with the same fluid grace with which they had advanced, dragging their wounded with them. Not out of compassion, I knew, but because even their dead and dying were resources to be exploited. This pattern repeated through that first day and night, waves of cultists followed by precision strikes from Dark Eldar raiding parties. Occasionally, word-bearer squads would advance behind their meat shields, unleashing devastating bolter fire before retreating. Each assault cost us defenders and drained our limited ammunition, but we held. By the second day, I began to recognize the strategy for what it was. The enemy wasn't trying to take the bridge, not yet. They were bleeding us dry, forcing us to expend ammunition and fighters against disposable assets. I confirmed this grim assessment when we captured an abandoned servitor during a lull in the fighting. The mindless cyborg had been part of a word-bearer support unit, used to carry ammunition and perform basic maintenance on their weapons. Its memory core remained intact. Vernus extracted the data while I watched, my stomach tightening as fragmented tactical information scrolled across his portable cogitator. The servitor had recorded portions of the enemy's battle planning. The word bearer's commander, a dark apostle named Korak Vilehand, had ordered his forces to bleed the loyalists white before committing his elite troops to take the bridge. The main assault would come at the 72-hour mark, when our ammunition and resolve were expected to falter. We had less than 24 hours before they would throw everything at us. Our ammunition stores were critical, less than 15% charge remaining in most las guns, and the Skitarii were down to their final magazines. The Promethium traps had proven effective, but the enemy would be expecting them now. We needed supplies, and there was only one place to get them. The abandoned Munitorum storehouse in Refinery Complex Primus lay 2 kilometers behind our position. Imperial logistics officers had been using it as a forward supply depot before the invasion. If anything remained, it represented our only chance to replenish our dwindling resources. I selected 9 fighters for the raid, myself, 3 guard veterans, 2 Skitarii, and 3 refinery workers who knew the complex's layout. The rest would maintain our defensive position under the command of Vernus. We moved out during a rare lull in the attacks, using maintenance tunnels that ran beneath the refinery complex. The tunnels stank of chemical runoff and rotting corpses. We found evidence that other Imperial forces had attempted to use these passages as escape routes, only to be hunted down in the darkness. We passed dozens of bodies showing signs of Dark Elder weaponry, flesh dissolved by exotic toxins or flayed with surgical precision. After an hour of careful advance, we reached the access shaft beneath the storehouse. The refinery workers led us through a series of narrow maintenance ducts that bypassed the main entrance. As we emerged into the cavernous storage facility, my initial surge of hope evaporated. The storehouse had been ransacked. Crates lay broken open, their contents scattered or stolen. Emergency lumens flickered overhead, casting erratic shadows across the devastation. We spread out, searching for anything usable among the wreckage. One of the guard veterans, Trooper Mallon, located a sealed crate of cracked grenades that had been overlooked, wedged beneath a collapsed storage rack. A refinery worker discovered a heavy bolter, its barrel bent but potentially salvageable. Not much, but better than returning empty-handed. The distinctive sound of ceramite boots on ferrocrete froze us in place. Word bearers, not just any word bearers, Terminators. The massive armored forms moved with unexpected silence for their bulk, sweeping the main storage area with storm bolters. Five of them, their ancient tactical dreadnought armor adorned with blasphemous sigils that hurt the eyes. They were using the storehouse as a forward command post, evidently planning the final assault on our position. We were hopelessly outmatched. Even with full ammunition and proper weapons, 9 fighters against 5 Terminators would be suicide. With our depleted resources, it was certain death. I signaled for a fighting retreat back through the maintenance ducts. The Skitarii acknowledged with an imperceptible nod, beginning to move toward the access point. That's when everything went wrong. One of the refinery workers, overcome by terror or perhaps simple clumsiness, knocked over a stack of empty promethium canisters. The resulting clatter echoed through the storehouse like a death knell. 5 helmeted heads turned in perfect unison toward our position. What followed was not a battle, but a slaughter. The Terminators opened fire, storm bolters tearing through storage racks and crates to reach us. One refinery worker simply disappeared in a red mist as multiple bolter rounds detonated within his torso. A guard veteran managed to fire 3 Laz shots, the beams dissipating harmlessly against ancient Terminator plate, before a return burst removed his head and right shoulder. The Skitarii performed better, their radium carbines actually penetrating the armor joints of one Terminator, who staggered momentarily before continuing his advance. I grabbed the crate of cracked grenades and the damaged heavy bolter, shouting for anyone still alive to fall back to the maintenance ducts. Only 3 responded, a Skitarii with half its face missing but system still operational, and 2 guard veterans, one dragging a shattered leg. We barely escaped, squeezing through the maintenance ducts as bolter rounds punched through the thin metal walls around us. The wounded veteran didn't make it, his strangled cry cut short by a bolt round that detonated within the confined space, showering us with fragments of bone and armor. By some miracle, the cracked grenades and heavy bolter survived the desperate retreat. The journey back to the bridge was a nightmare of pain and paranoia. Every shadow concealed potential death. Twice we froze as Dark Elder hunting parties passed nearby, their alien senses somehow failing to detect us in the chemical-soaked darkness. When we finally emerged near our defensive position, only 3 of us remained, myself, the damaged Skitarii, and Trooper Dran, the last surviving veteran. Our return coincided with a fresh assault on the bridge. Dark Elder Ravagers, sleek anti-gravity gunships, had appeared from the Hive side, their dark lances striking the southern supports of the Omnisiah's gateway with pinpoint accuracy. The bridge shuddered beneath the impacts, ferrocrete cracking and support beams warping. Our defensive position was becoming untenable. I ordered the wounded to be evacuated first, sending them back toward the refinery complex with our 2 remaining medics. The rest of us would conduct a fighting retreat, using the final promethium traps to cover our withdrawal. The damaged heavy bolter was hastily repaired by Vernus, who replaced the bent barrel with one salvaged from a destroyed heavy stubber. It wouldn't last long, but it might buy us the time we needed. The bridge's southern supports gave way just as the last of the wounded cleared our position. The entire structure groaned, tilting at a sickening angle as adamantium stress points reached their limits. I triggered the remaining Promethium traps, creating a wall of flame between us and the advancing enemy forces. Through the fire, I could see Dark Eldar warriors pausing, their alien features unreadable, but their body language suggesting frustration at being denied their prey. Our retreat through the industrial zone became a hellish gauntlet. Dark Eldar snipers occupied the upper levels of refinery towers, picking off our fighters with methodical precision. Allah's round to the head. A splinter rifle shot that paralyzed before killing. We lost 6 more in the first 10 minutes of the withdrawal. Worse were the screams, not all shots were meant to kill. The Dark Eldar deliberately wounded some of our fighters, leaving them alive but immobile. When we tried to recover them, snipers would target the rescuers. After losing 3 more fighters in failed rescue attempts, I had to make the hardest decision of my military career. We left them behind. Their screams followed us as the Dark Eldar descended to collect their living trophies, cutting through the smoke and din of battle like knives through flesh. By nightfall, we had reached the relative safety of Processing Plant 19, an anonymous ferrocrete structure among dozens of identical buildings. Of the 50 fighters who had held the bridge, only 24 remained. The rest were dead or taken, the latter fate infinitely worse than the former. Our ammunition was virtually exhausted, and morale had collapsed along with the bridge. As I conducted a final headcount, the brutal calculus of our situation became clear. 72 hours of holding the Omnisiah's gateway had cost us more than half our fighting force. We had exhausted almost all our ammunition and supplies. The bridge itself was now impassable. Its southern section collapsed into the toxic basin below. And according to the captured servitor's data, the enemy's main assault hadn't even begun yet. The worst realization came when I studied the refinery complex layout. Processing Plant 19 stood at the edge of the industrial zone, backed against the vast chemical wasteland that separated us from the next Imperial stronghold. We had nowhere left to retreat. This anonymous ferrocrete box would be where we made our final stand. The only question remaining was how many of the enemy we could take with us before the end. I looked at the faces of the survivors, exhausted, filthy, many bearing wounds hastily patched with torn clothing or industrial assailant. They had held against impossible odds for 3 days, but as I distributed the few remaining supplies and positioned fighters at entry points, I knew the truth that none of us spoke aloud. The 72-hour defense of the Omnisiah's gateway hadn't been a victory. It had merely been a postponement of the inevitable. Night fell on Processing Plant 19 like a funeral shroud. As I watched the distant fires of our burning hive through shattered windows, I knew we couldn't stay. The word bearers would hunt us methodically through the refinery complex, and the Dark Eldar would savor every moment of our desperate flight. 24 exhausted fighters couldn't hold this position against what was coming. I studied the grimy refinery map we'd salvaged, searching for any defensible position beyond the industrial zone. That's when I saw it, the Basilica Imperialis Tanaris. The ancient cathedral fortress stood on elevated ground 10 kilometers northeast, its foundation dating back to the early colonization of the planet. If any structure on Tanaris Prime had been built to withstand siege, it would be that monument to the Emperor's will. We moved out before dawn, using the labyrinthine network of drainage channels beneath the refinery complex. The journey was hell. Toxic runoff from damaged chemical tanks had transformed the tunnels into deadly obstacle courses. Twice we were forced to detour when we encountered sections flooded with corrosive waste. The air grew thick with chemical vapors that burned the lungs and made eyes water uncontrollably. 17 of us reached the surface near the Basilica's outer walls as the sun broke through the smoke-choked sky. 7 had been lost to Dark Eldar hunting parties that prowled the tunnels like predatory shadows. The Xenos didn't kill them quickly. I still hear the screams echoing through those confined spaces whenever I close my eyes. The Basilica Imperialis Tanaris loomed before us, a massive edifice of gray-black rockcrete and reinforced adamantium. 8 spires reached toward the heavens, surrounded by flying buttresses and defensive battlements. Stained glass windows depicting the Emperor's Great Crusade lined the upper levels, many now shattered by the concussive force of distant artillery. The main entrance was a pair of bronzium doors 20 meters high, carved with scenes of Imperial triumph over alien hordes. Those doors stood partially open, one hanging from a single massive hinge. We approached cautiously, weapons raised despite our depleted ammunition. The Skitarii moved ahead, their augmetic senses scanning for threats. The Basilica's forecourt was littered with corpses, PDF troopers, civilians, and robed ecclesiarchy personnel. They had died weeks ago, judging by the state of decomposition. Scorch marks and bolt shell impacts scarred the rockcrete walls, telling the story of a desperate last stand. We entered the vast nave of the Basilica, footsteps echoing in the cavernous space. Rows of wooden pews had been overturned and used as makeshift barricades. Hundreds of candles still burned throughout the cathedral, maintained by automated servitors that continued their programmed duties despite the devastation around them. The vaulted ceiling soared 60 meters above, painted with frescoes depicting the emperor enthroned in golden light. The basilica's layout was ideal for defense. Multiple levels connected by narrow staircases, thick walls with firing slits, and bell towers offering commanding views of the surrounding area. Most importantly, I discovered that the structure incorporated an Adeptus Arbites precinct in its eastern wing. The planetary law enforcement had maintained a presence within the basilica since its construction. Tech Adept Vernus interfaced with the basilica's ancient power systems, his mechadendrites probing corroded connection points and bypassing damaged circuits. The building's emergency lumens flickered to life, casting harsh white light across the blood-stained marble floor. More surprising was the activation of automated defense turrets mounted along the upper galleries, ancient heavy stubbers that swiveled on rusted mounts, their machine spirits sluggish but functional. We found the Arbites armory behind a reinforced bulkhead that had been partially breached. The interior was a scene of last-minute desperation, empty weapon racks and scattered ammunition casings. But in a sealed equipment vault overlooked by whoever had raided the armory, we discovered a cache that might extend our survival by hours, perhaps even days. Three plasma guns with power cells at 70% capacity. A multi-melta, its focusing crystals intact and power supply functional. Eight combat shotguns with approximately 200 shells of various types. Most valuable of all was a crate of cracked grenades and melta bombs, weapons that could actually threaten Astartes' armor. I distributed the weapons based on skill and experience. The plasma guns went to former PDF heavy weapons specialists. The multi-melta I assigned to Trooper Dran, whose experience with similar weapons in the guard made him our best option. The Skitarii required no additional armament. Their integrated weapon systems remained more effective than anything we could provide. We transformed the basilica into a fortress within hours. The main entrance was barricaded with overturned pews reinforced with scavenged metal from the surrounding area. The grand staircase leading to the upper levels was rigged with tripwires connected to fragmentation charges improvised from shotgun shells. Firing positions were established in the bell towers and along the upper galleries, providing overlapping fields of fire covering all approaches. Vernus exceeded all expectations. The Tech Adept restored power to the Basilica's ancient void shield generator, not powerful enough to cover the entire structure, but sufficient to protect the central nave where we established our command post. He also reactivated the automated defense systems, including motion tracking OSPEX arrays that would alert us to approaching threats. As night fell, I climbed the highest bell tower to survey our surroundings. The devastation of Tanaris Prime spread before me in all directions. Hive Meridian burned on the horizon, its once proud spires now truncated stumps belching black smoke into the atmosphere. The refinery complex we had abandoned was systematically being demolished, storage tanks detonating in sequence as the enemy destroyed what they couldn't use. Through my magnoculars, I observed word bearers methodically desecrating imperial monuments throughout the Hive City. A statue of the Emperor that had stood in the main processional was now bound in chains, its noble features defaced with blasphemous symbols carved into the marble. Dark Eldar raiding parties paraded captured civilians through the streets, herding them towards sleek blade-covered transports that would carry them to fates worse than death. I recorded our situation on a data slate I'd found in the Arbites quarters. Not as a tactical report, there was no command structure left to receive it, but as testimony. Someone should know what happened here. Someone should remember that we stood against the darkness, even if only for a moment. Days passed. We established a routine of 4-hour watches, conserving our strength and ammunition for the inevitable assault. The Basilica's extensive water collection system provided clean drinking water, and we discovered emergency ration stores in the RBT's mess hall. We might survive for weeks if the enemy allowed it. They didn't. On the seventh day of our occupation of the Basilica, the Auspex arrays detected multiple large contacts approaching from the direction of Hive Meridian. I returned to the bell tower with my magnoculars, counting enemy assets with growing despair. A Chaos Predator tank led the column, its turret modified with additional trophy racks bearing the impaled heads of Imperial officers. Behind it came three Dark Eldar Talos Pain engines, floating torture devices that combined the worst aspects of tank and demon, their metallic tentacles writhing with anticipation of fresh victims. Most disturbing was the infantry complement, not the cultists or even standard Chaos Marines we had faced before, but specialized assault troops. Word-bearer iconoclasts marched alongside the tanks, their armor adorned with parchment scrolls containing forbidden texts. Dark Eldar racks moved with unnatural fluidity, their bodies modified with surgical implements designed to inflict maximum suffering before death. I returned to the command post and briefed the survivors. No false hope, no inspiring speeches, just the cold reality of our situation. The enemy had brought sufficient firepower to reduce the Basilica to rubble. Our void shield might withstand the initial barrage, but once it failed, our defenses would crumble rapidly. Vernus suggested our final strategy. The Basilica's structural supports could be rigged with our remaining explosives. If the enemy committed their forces to the interior, we could trigger the charges, bringing the entire structure down upon them. We wouldn't survive, but neither would they. It wasn't victory, but it was purpose, a final act of defiance against those who had destroyed our world. We worked through the night, placing Melta bombs at key structural points and connecting them to a remote detonator. By dawn, the Basilica had been transformed into a massive deadfall trap. The explosives alone wouldn't collapse the ancient structure, but they would weaken critical support columns. Once those failed, the weight of the upper levels would do the rest. The assault began at noon with a barrage from the Predator's turret-mounted autocannon. Explosive shells impacted against the void shield, which flickered but held. The Dark Eldar contributed their own brand of destruction, Dark Lance beams stabbing at the Basilica's spires with surgical precision. One of the bell towers collapsed, sending tons of rockcrete crashing down the eastern face of the cathedral. Our return fire was measured and precise. The multi-melta scored a direct hit on one of the Talos Pain engines, the superheated beam melting through its alien hull and causing internal systems to detonate spectacularly. Plasma guns targeted the infantry, each shot claiming multiple cultists who had advanced too close together. The Skitarii maintained a constant barrage from their elevated positions, radium rounds cutting down Dark Eldar racks attempting to flank our position. For the first hour, we held them at bay. The void shield finally collapsed under sustained fire from the Predator, but by then the enemy had lost nearly a third of their infantry to our defensive fire. The Chaos tank adjusted its position, bringing its last cannon to bear on the main entrance. The reinforced doors disintegrated under the energy beam, leaving a gaping hole in our primary defensive line. They came through that breach like a tide of nightmares. Word bearers led the charge, bolt pistols barking as they advanced in disciplined formation. Behind them came the cultists, screaming incoherent prayers to their dark gods. The Dark Eldar moved along the flanks, using grappling hooks to scale the exterior walls and enter through shattered windows. Our carefully prepared killing zones proved effective initially. Overlapping fields of fire cut down the first wave of attackers, turning the Basilica's entrance hall into a charnel house of broken bodies and spilled blood. The shotguns proved particularly devastating in the confined space, each blast removing cultists by the handful, but we were 17 against hundreds. Ammunition ran low despite our careful rationing. The plasma guns overheated from continuous fire, one exploding in its wielder's hands and taking three defenders with it. The Skitarii fought with mechanical precision until they were overwhelmed by Dark Eldar who dropped from the ceiling on barbed hooks, impaling the machine soldiers on poisoned blades. I watched them die, one by one. Trooper Dran held the central nave alone for nearly 10 minutes, the multi-melta's beam cutting swathes through the advancing horde, until a Dark Eldar sniper put a crystalline shard through his eye. Tech Adept Vernus interfaced directly with the Basilica's defense turrets, achieving unprecedented firing rates before word-bearer iconoclasts tore him from the control throne and dismembered him methodically. The survivors retreated to the uppermost level of the Basilica, the Sanctum of Eternal Light, where a massive stained glass window depicted the Emperor Ascendant. Our numbers had dwindled to 5, myself, 2 PDF troopers, a refinery worker who had proven surprisingly capable with a shotgun, and the last surviving Skitarii, its mechanical body leaking fluid from multiple wounds. I held the detonator in my hand as enemy forces secured the lower levels of the Basilica. Through the floor grating, I could see word bearers establishing a command post in the central nave, directly above the largest concentration of explosives. Dark Eldar moved through the Basilica with predatory grace, securing relics and artifacts for their own inscrutable purposes. The refinery worker died first, a bolt round taking him through the chest as he fired his final shotgun shell down the access stairway. The PDF troopers followed minutes later, overwhelmed by cultists who swarmed up the narrow passage in suicidal waves. The Skitarii continued firing until its ammunition was exhausted, then engaged in hand-to-hand combat, its augmetic limbs crushing cultist skulls with mechanical efficiency until a word-bearer iconoclast severed its power core with a chainsword. Then it was just me, alone in the highest point of the Basilica. Through the shattered stained glass, I could see fresh enemy forces arriving, more tanks, more infantry, more instruments of torture and death. They would use this sacred place as a forward base, a staging ground for further atrocities against what remained of Tanaris Prime's population. I activated the data slate one final time, recording these last moments as bolter rounds impacted against the door to my position. The thick adamantium held, but it wouldn't last much longer. The word bearers were chanting now, their voices carrying through the Basilica in a dark hymn that made my skin crawl. The door began to glow red as Melta weapons were applied to the locking mechanism. I counted the seconds, waiting until the enemy committed the maximum number of troops to the interior. The Basilica shuddered as something massive, likely the remaining Talos Pain engines, forced its way through the main entrance. I pressed the detonator. The explosions weren't particularly loud, more like a series of dull thumps echoing through the vast structure. For a moment nothing happened and I feared our plan had failed. Then came the groaning, the deep, primordial sound of stressed rockcrete and adamantium reaching their breaking point. The floor beneath me tilted as the central support columns gave way. The word bearers realized what was happening too late. I heard their shouts of alarm, quickly drowned out by the thunderous collapse of the Basilica's upper levels. The entire structure folded inward like a house of cards, thousands of tons of sanctified masonry descending upon the invaders. As the floor gave way beneath me, I experienced a moment of perfect clarity. Our defense of Tanaris Prime had been doomed from the start. No reinforcements would come. No Imperial fleet would drive back the invaders. Our deaths would go unrecorded in any official history of the Imperium's endless wars, but we had stood. Against impossible odds, against enemies beyond mortal comprehension, we had stood in the Emperor's name. We had denied the foe their easy victory. We had cost them time, resources, and lives. In the grand calculus of the Imperium's war machine, our sacrifice meant nothing. Tanaris Prime was just one world among millions, its loss a rounding error in some administratum ledger. But as the Basilica collapsed around me and I fell towards certain death, I knew that we had fulfilled our duty to the last breath. The Emperor may have forgotten Tanaris Prime, but we had remembered him. In the end, perhaps that was enough.